Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker is the University President, Dr. Stephen Jones. The title of his message is Preparation for All of Life's Needs. The text is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 and verses 10 through 17.
If you would please take your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. And then jump down, please, to verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. I'm going to specifically be addressing those of you that we won't see again next semester because you'll be finishing or departing from the university. But for all of you, this is for you. This is for us, because this is from God for all of us who are men and women of God. It's an embarrassing thing to be unprepared. Yesterday I went for a haircut, and I had written a check in the morning, had put it in my pocket, had carried it all day, but for some stupid reason, I have no idea, I took the check out of my pocket, put it on my desk while I was doing something else in the afternoon, and went for my haircut, and then obviously didn't have my check in my pocket. Now that's embarrassing. Thankfully, the barber and I go back all the way to when I was in junior high. So I said, I'll send it back. And he said, okay, you're, I guess I can trust you. But I was unprepared, and that was rather embarrassing. But it goes beyond embarrassment. It can be tragic, can't it? I mean, some of you may think, well, that's my exams. Tragic. Unprepared, ill-equipped. But it can be life-threatening, can't it? I mean, think of the Titanic. Thousands died. And even if all of them had gotten to the lifeboats, there were only lifeboats enough for about half of the passengers that night. Half of them would have died anyway. They were unprepared for what happened. When we're talking about life, when we're talking about truth, when we're talking about the world that we live in, and we read about it. We read about a world that is like this in the days in which Paul wrote, and a day in which he said it will get worse and worse as the end approaches. That's reality scripturally. That's where we are living, where it has waxed worse from what it was when Paul was writing this. Being unprepared to face a world like that is tragic, is life-threatening from a spiritual standpoint. But we are not unprepared. God has given us what we need. We don't have to rely on our thinking, on our experience, on our feeling to steer a course, a safe course, a godly course, a good course through this life. Because we are fully equipped. He has provided us with that. He has given you. He has given me. He has given believers all we need for even the worst of life. You have it in the scriptures. He encouraged Timothy to continue in those things. In spite of what happens around you, Timothy, keep going. And I would give you the same advice. In spite of what happens around you and to you, what happens to you from sinners, what happens to you from well-meaning Christians who do harm, what happens to you perhaps from false teachers intending to do you harm, in spite of all of that, continue. And continue in the things that you have learned. And he says, first of all, because he was blessed with trustworthy mentors. That's what we dealt with earlier, where he said that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures. Yes, they weren't perfect, your mother and grandmother. Yes, I, even Paul, your spiritual father, I wasn't perfect. But yet what we exposed you to was the Holy Scriptures, and they are perfect. And we, in spite of our imperfections, we were giving you what is reliable, what is sure for life. They were trustworthy mentors. And many of you have been blessed with that as well. And that is to be an encouragement to you from God to keep going, not to lay it aside, whatever life throws at you. But second, we can keep going. We can continue with confidence, fully equipped, because we have been blessed with a trustworthy message. Look again at verses 15 through 17. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then you know this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished to all good works. You can lean on Scriptures. You can continue in Scriptures because they are divinely given. That's the first thing he says here. And please take note of it, whether mentally or on paper. They're divinely given. Literally here, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word there means literally in the Greek, it is God breathed. Scripture is God breathed. And the word Scripture here is what is written, graphe. Down to the words, the phrases, the sentences, not just the ideas. And beware, because there is false teaching that says, you know what, the words, they're erroneous, but the ideas, that's good. That's not Paul's doctrine. That's not Scripture's teaching of itself. It is all, even down to the words, it is God-breathed. All of it. Not inspiring in the sense that a book can be inspiring or a piece of music can be inspiring, not because of the effect it has on you, not because, and again, this is neo-orthodoxy, false teaching. It doesn't become Scripture when you hear it and suddenly it resonates with you. And because it resonates with you, it becomes the Word of God to you. That's false. It was the Word of God by its own nature before you heard it. And it was your task as the hearer to attend and to respond to it as God breathed, because it is inspired, and it's in the passive voice, inspired by its own origin. It wouldn't exist except for the fact that God breathed it. That's what makes it unique. It is distinct from every other book. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21 remind us that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation or origin, because they came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Man didn't create it. God did. And he breathed it out, what is written. And that's why you can lean on it. That's why you're prepared for life. That's why I'm prepared for whatever sorrows, for whatever hardships, for whatever trials. Whatever experiences come at you, you are equipped because it is God-breathed. And notice how much of it is. And this is important, young person. Look at the first word of verse 16. What's it say? Tell me. All. All. Every part and the whole. The complete Word of God. It is all God-breathed. That means you and I cannot cut and paste what we will do and what we won't do, what we will hear, what we won't hear. It is all equally authoritative for life because it is all equally God-breathed. We have no right, like Thomas Jefferson, to cut and paste, to take out the miracles because we don't believe them, to take out one portion because we don't like it. It is all God-breathed to be lived. It means you and I cannot avoid or devalue parts of it. Don't ignore the Old Testament, else you won't fully comprehend the richness of the New Testament, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is all God-breathed. It is all profitable. It also means, because all is God-breathed, that you can't reach a different conclusion about parts of it without reflecting on the whole. Now, what do I mean there? There are people who will say, as they read, oh, that's just Paul's chauvinism showing. There are places that you will read, and you will say, and you will hear people say, oh, that's just Paul's homophobia. That's not true for today. That was culture bound for then. That's just Paul. Or that's just David, or that's just Solomon. All of it is God-breathed. And the minute you start to devalue part of it, to say, you know what, that doesn't have authority, that's just Paul's opinion showing up, the moment you do that, you've reflected on all of it. Because it is either what it says it is in its entirety, or it is not at all what it says it is. All Scripture is God-breathed, and that's why you can lean on it. You can lean on it because it's all divinely given, but you can also lean on it because it is all divinely valuable. Look again in verse 16. Given by inspiration of God and is profitable or valuable or sufficient for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. God has given us everything we need. You have it. Unlike the Titanic, you have what you need to get safely through the waters of life and reach God to hear Him say, well done. You have what you need. I do. It is profitable. And again, keep in mind that it is all inspired and it is all profitable. It is all valuable for you to know and for you to follow. Now, nothing else in life can make that 100% guarantee. Can you, about your own thinking? Can you say, you know what, everything I say is worth hearing? Can you? I mean, there are very few people I know that everything they say is worth hearing. Dr. Panosian is one exception. I used to sit in his church history class and think, you could write out what he is saying and it would be correct and it would be literary quality. I mean, there was not a wasted word. Every word weighed a pound. I just couldn't write fast enough to keep it all there. But I'm not like that. I mean, you know, I don't listen to most of what I say. And that's why when I preach, I try to stick very close to this. Because this is reliable. Though I'm not, my opinion is not, yours is not. But God says everything He says, all that Scripture says, is profitable in its entirety and in every part. It is sufficient. Sufficient first for teaching. That's what the first two words refer to. Doctrine literally means teaching. Paul is saying here, under inspiration, that all a person needs to be taught for salvation is found in Scripture. Everything you need to know what's spiritually important, it is already given to us in Scripture. We're not waiting for something else. There is no supplemental or subsequent revelation to come. There is nothing else that we have to gain of spiritual value from the Book of Mormon, from the Quran, from a word of knowledge personally revealed through a charismatic act of the Holy Spirit. There is nothing more that we need to live godly in Christ Jesus. We have it all in Scripture. There is nothing more. And conversely, on the flip side of that, if you hear something that is not found in the Bible, you have no reason to accept it as spiritually significant or spiritually authoritative. God has given us something. It is the filter for everything that we hear. And that's why, young person, know this first. Before you listen to anything else, know this first. Study this. Be able to speak it back. When you have a question, hopefully the first thing that comes to mind will be either a biblical principle or a biblical passage or biblical illustration. To think biblically. Think biblically, because everything it says is profitable for you. Everything spiritually significant, we already have it in the Scripture. But not only on the positive side, we have what we need for teaching, but also for reproof, which means rebuke or conviction. This book is profitable because it shows us where there's error. It shows us the pitfalls. It shows us a false teacher. Know this and use this as the filter. Everything you hear, everything you see should be passed through the filter of God's word. If it passes the test, that's fine. Live by it. If it doesn't, reject it. You have what you need to discern false teaching and error. It exposes error in false teachers. And remember, they're going to wax worse and worse, young person. So be prepared. God's warned us. It's going to get worse. Just go to your average Christian bookstore. It's worse. The false teaching is rampant. The froth is rampant. The substance is rare. The false teachers, they will wax worse and worse. And we identify error by knowing Scripture, because it is sufficient for reproof, for rebuke and conviction. It also exposes errors in our own lives, doesn't it? You've been in a service, and the Word of God has been preached, and you know it's talking to you. God just put His finger right on sin in your life. That's the work of the Bible. It is profitable to you. That's valuable, not comfortable, but valuable. Because it identifies error in what you're hearing, but also in what you're living. Because you don't want to go through life living in a way, you shouldn't want to go through life living in a way displeasing to your Creator God, your Savior. It is sufficient, profitable in its teaching. So as you read things, as you pick up things, read it and think, is this biblical? As you hear things, think, is this biblical? And if it's not, discard it. Because you have what you need for life and godliness. You have everything that is spiritually significant, and you have what you need to identify what is false. But it is also sufficient and profitable for living. The next two terms, we're still in verse 16, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Correction and instruction in righteousness. The correction is necessary, isn't it? Because once error, once sin in my life, once error in what you and I hear, once that's identified, needs to be corrected. Once we know how we are failing God, how we're stumbling, this word correction, it means to set it upright again. It shows us how to set things straight, how to restore to usefulness and fellowship. This book is profitable for that. It shows how sinners can be restored in fellowship to God. Now, when you're sinning, when you know that your conscience is guilty because of sin, the last place you want to go is where? To Scripture. Or anywhere that Scripture is going to be preached. Because your guilt is driving you from the Word of God. And you may have heard that quotation from the past that either this book will keep you from sin or sin will keep you from this book. But this book is exactly what you need when you're in sin. Because this book is the one that points out what is wrong with that. And that can set it straight again. To make your life what it is intended to be. As a redeemed, Spirit-empowered life. It corrects. This word is what you need to restore your heart, your mind, your soul. Have you fallen? Get back in the book. Else you won't know how to go right again. How to set things straight, how to please the Lord in that area of failure. But it is also sufficient because it instructs us in righteousness, the last phrase of verse 16, instruction in righteousness. Literally here, the word means child training. And we need it, don't we? Every believer, like a child, needs to be educated, trained, and disciplined so that we may prosper in righteous living. It teaches us, and it teaches us from the first days, and it is sufficient to take us to full maturity to the day that we see Christ, to teach us, instruct us in righteous living so that we may be spiritually fruitful and can flourish to God's glory. That he can get the glory he deserves from this life he's created and redeemed. We have what we need. We can lean on it. It is sufficient to help us to live in a way that is pleasing to God by setting us straight and by disciplining us, by training us to be fruitful in the sphere of righteous living. It is sufficient to fully equip us in living. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Those terms, perfect and truly furnished, very similar, very close in meaning, means that these scriptures are intended. That's what the Greek is saying, that the purpose of the scriptures, the purpose is that you, believer, would be perfect, fit, conditioned. And then it says truly furnished, which means ready, fully equipped to do whatever God calls you to do. What he's called you to is bigger than you are. Graduating student, if you feel sufficient for the calling that the Lord has put on your life, if you feel sufficient, oh, I can do it in my strength in a way that pleases God. If you feel sufficient, you're going to fall flat. It's bigger than you are. It's bigger than I am. The spiritual warfare, the spiritual life we are called to, it's bigger than we are. But we have what we need to make us fit and prepared for that. If you will nurture your spiritual life in the scriptures, that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. If you will take care of, if you will nurture, if you will tend to the scriptures, you will be fully qualified and prepared to undertake whatever tasks God puts before you. Christian, if you want to be a good or godly father or mother, master this. If you want to know how to be a successful, balanced, generous, godly Christian businessman or nurse or doctor, master this. Because it alone can fully equip you, to fit you, to make you sufficient for the thing that God has created and called you to do. It is profitable. It is sufficient for you. Preacher boy, if you want to know how to be a good pastor and leader of whatever size flock God gives you, master this. Teacher, educator, carpenter, master this. Because it is all God-breathed. Nothing else that clamors for our attention during the day is. Not the blogging, not the newspaper, not the TV. None of that is God-given, God-breathed, right? But we have something that is. So why do we spend so much of our time distracted by those things? And those things in proportion, they can be fine. But to exclusion of this, those are things that are going to burn away one day and count for nothing. You have what is God-breathed, so lean on it, continue in it. You have what is profitable in its entirety, all of it. So lean on it. Live it. God has given us everything we need to withstand everything that life, that hell, that false teachers can hurl at us. You have the equipment you need. It's already there. God has supplied it. And it is our responsibility to continue in those things, to study it, to know it, to love it, to live it, that he would be pleased. Because he has already provided. So student, continue. Know these things. Obey these things. And you who are graduating, find a church that is faithful to it. Word by word, in expositing what it says, what it means, not just the ideas, but the words, the paragraphs. And not just a great teaching church, that when you walk out the doors, you live like the world, but a great living church that puts this word to practice every day, because that's what God expects of us. Father, we pray that you would help us. We thank you for equipping us. We thank you for loving us enough that you have given us everything we need for life and godliness. Pray especially, Father, for those who won't be returning next semester, who are launching into that calling that you have put on their lives, that before they do anything else, they would master your word, that it would be the filter for their living and their thinking. We pray that no student from here would go out into a church that preaches falsehood, that no student would go out even to a church that preaches correctly but lives falsehood. We pray that your word would have its proper place in our life and its proper function in our life. You have given us all that we need. It is all God-breathed. It is all profitable. So, Father, help us to live and to love all of it, we pray.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was the university president, Dr. Stephen Jones. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.